It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center. You can hear the happy organ music in the background for tonight because the Hawks beat the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers 3-1 here at the UC. You can call or text 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in. We got a kind enough guest downstairs, Connor Murphy, Blackhawks defenseman, joining us now. Connor, you guys had a chance the other night against Anaheim, up 2-1, couldn't close the deal in the third period. How nice was it to get it done against the defending Stanley Cup champions and have some redemption tonight?
Yeah, it was really nice. It kind of definitely gave us a sour taste in our mouths having that, giving up that lead against Anaheim, especially they were off a back-to-back. We feel like we're a stronger team than them. So come out and do it and stay kind of within our game and not stray too far and have too many breakdowns is really important.
Boy, Connor, you look at the way the Florida Panthers play, and it is a vicious game that's relentless. How were you guys able to kind of hold everything together against a team that is actively pinching their defense in every play and forechecked? I mean, they just don't give up.
Yeah, the pinches are hard. I feel like when we struggled in the game, we were keeping the puck along the yellow, along the boards too much. Whether it was us D going D to D to each other and the puck was gluing along the wall, or whether you had to throw a rim, it's hard for forwards to make plays, but that really is part of the game against them, is who can win those board battles the most and not allow them to hold it in and get their cycle game. And once they get the cycle game going, they try to wear you out physically and then crash the net. You saw a lot of slot plays they had, and then they have those big boys like Tkachuk and Barkov that want to crash the net and really get those rebounds.
Connor, you finished with almost 26 minutes of ice time tonight, which is a season high for you. How big is the loss of Seth Jones and kind of a committee-type approach to replace his minutes?
Yeah, it definitely is, especially having another like a right shot like that out. I think I'm the only right shot left now in the lineup, so it's hard sometimes with draws and in certain plays when you want to have a guy wheel the net or make a play to kind of rim it out or get it chip it out. It's hard with a lot of lefties, so we've a lot of guys step up and play on the other side that usually don't or usually aren't as comfortable, and that's all part of adapting. And it's nice having more veteran defensemen that are able to figure out how to play and how to get the job done.
You mentioned the little slot plays that Florida does, and boy, they do it as good as any team in the NHL. What was the game plan coming in? How do you defend those type of plays?
Yeah, you got to share the responsibility between the low forward, the net front D, and then even sometimes if they're high enough, the winger that's up on the point on the blue line, they kind of have to sink low and shrink the zone and try to make it tight for them just to sift those passes through. They are really good at it, and they have those guys, Reinhart, and those guys are scorers, and Bennett, and they know how to flare out to the strong side of the ice where the net front D or forward has a hard time getting to them. So they're good at it, and like I said, shrinking the zone and getting pressure on that forward in the corner to not allow him to have that passing lane is important too.
How important is the pregame scouting and the video that you need to have in this game to protect against the way that the Panthers play?
It's big. It's big. I think it depends the guy though too. Like sometimes I've found in the past if I watch too much of it and get too set in the ways of worrying about the plays they're going to make, I end up sitting back a bit. So it's important to have an idea of what they're going to do and then just make reads and have a good head and hockey IQ to really close and know which area of the ice is yours to cover.
Last one for you, Connor. Mrazek, it was his first start in a week. Didn't have practice yesterday. Yeah, morning skate today. Crazy. Seems like he doesn't skip a beat.
I know, it's insane. It's even last year, I feel like the amount of games and workload he's had and then even just his demeanor between games on off days. I've seen goalies who take so many shots the way ours have that just seem exhausted between games, and he seems to be upbeat and still ready to come back the next day. So he's been honestly a big leader in that way for us, and obviously his performance speak for themselves, but on top of that, just his attitude and coming ready and eager to get in the net every game is really big and an influence on all of us.
Awesome. Connor, thanks for doing this, and take it over.
Good talking to you guys. Yeah, thanks.
Right. That was Connor Murphy, Blackhawks defenseman, talking about the 3-1 victory for the Florida Panthers. Takeaways on what he had to say.
Well, you know what I mean? Florida Panthers play such a unique style of a game, and boy, you don't notice it with the majority of the teams in the NHL, but the way that they pinch down on the boards, as he said, it's a hard pinch. You know that it's coming around, and the strong side wing really has to be alert and knowing that there's going to be pressure coming from behind. And if you can get body position, if you can shield it and chip it out, that's the way to play it. If you don't play it like that, if you're not going to win that one-on-one battle physically, you have to move down the boards a little bit. But the Florida Panthers, as much as any team, will send that defenseman all the way down and have somebody covering up for him. This is a well-oiled machine, the way that they play. They're very familiar with their head coach. They know the style. Basically, they had the same line combinations the last couple seasons in their top side of their lineup. So this is an impressive performance by the Blackhawks to find a way to win in this game when at times they were largely outplayed. But, you know, the one thing that I liked about it, and I kind of looked at some of the things and I jotted some notes down here, they worked for 60 minutes in this game. Sometimes not pretty, but boy, they worked hard and they didn't give up and they didn't quit. And it is really tough to play a team like the Panthers, who I thought played a really good game. I mean, they didn't give up a whole lot. Mrazek was certainly the better goaltender in this game. But right off the bat, you could sense that there was a different type of urgency to the game. You talk about Craig Smith, who, you know, had a goal in this game. He was -2 in the last game. He was a +2 in this game. Fleno, goal and assist. Those guys are like the players who have the willingness to grind it out, got some results in this game. So I thought there were some really good things that happened. Defensively, they made some mistakes, but when they did, Peter Mrazek was able to bail them out. But when you look at the minutes between Connor Murphy, and it's funny, I looked at the minutes for Vlasic. He played 26:34 last game. In this game,
27 plus?
26:34, the exact number.
Oh, wow.
In two games in a row, and that is a team high just ahead of Connor Murphy, who played 3 seconds under the 26-minute mark. So basically, those two guys were out there for almost half of the game. And in a game like this, the conditioning of these guys is incredible because it was just relentless. There's no easy play, and you got to get up in the play, and then you got to get back here defending in the corner. He talked about the 50-50 battles, and when you're playing the Florida Panthers, there's going to be a lot of those because they play the right way. They put pucks into areas where they can get in on the forecheck. They pressure with two guys. Their defense come down the wall. It's a really tough system to play against, and I thought the Blackhawks had their struggles, but they found a way to get through it.
You mentioned how relentless Florida is, especially in their forecheck. Hawks took only two penalties tonight. It was a Pat Maroon tripping penalty, which I don't think was a tripping penalty, and Wyatt Kaiser throwing one over the glass. So you're going to beat you're going to be in the game against the Florida Panthers if you only let them commit two penalties. And it got dicey in the second with that power play late, and it was a huge kill. So that credit to the Blackhawks for also not for being playing a disciplined game against Florida, too.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be smart against these good teams, and the Florida Panthers are obviously, as John had mentioned several times, I mean, this is the defending Stanley Cup champion team, and they know how to play the game. And I thought that, you know, they won the game, but they won the special teams battle as well, and that is so important. It was a big difference in the game. It was the first goal in the game. It kept the energy in the United Center. And that's what you need to do. You want to take advantage of the energy on home ice, and they have to be better moving forward. Their home ice record has to get better. And the way that they played tonight, the energy that they had, the crowd was involved all the whole game, and Mrazek was excellent. So they kept that emotion in the game, and it started right off the bat. They've certainly got to clean up some things. They had opportunities to get pucks out, but easy for us to see up here, and I think it was Patrick Maroon who was talking about it the other day. You know, for us, I have never made a mistake from up here because it's a different perspective. But when you're down on the ice and you know a team like the Florida Panthers are coming at you, you don't have a lot of time to make decisions, and it's a tough thing to do. As broadcasters look up here and we say, boy, the guy had lots of time, or, you know, he could have done something else. Easier said than done, because I've been down there before, and it's not fun when you're looking for a puck coming along the boards and you know that the defenseman is coming down. But you got to have that expectation and be prepared for it. And I thought tonight they were a lot better prepared for that for most of the game, even though they know it was coming at them and not easy to play against.
How about some of the wins the Blackhawks have had this year? In Edmonton, in Colorado, against Minnesota here at the United Center. They were 64 seconds away from shutting out Winnipeg on that opening, and now they beat Florida tonight. I mean, what is it about the Hawks being able to kind of match some of the upper echelon teams, but not the bottom half of the NHL?
Well, if I was a betting person, just if I was betting, I would have put the odds on them beating the Ducks,
yes,
and losing to the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
And it's just the opposite. But that's why you play the games. Anything can happen. And you know that Florida, I mean, I don't think they looked past this game or took the Blackhawks lightly, and they played a really good game. They've lost four of their last five games. They lost two in a row. I mean, this is a team that prides itself on responding the right way and playing the right way. And so you knew that they were coming in here, and they wanted desperately to get a win. This team does not lose very often, three games in a row, let alone four and five. So, you know, the Blackhawks knew that there was a bee coming into the hive here, and you had to play a hard game, and you knew it. And I thought the hard players that the Blackhawks have in their lineup did what they needed to do as far as trying to win those 50-50 battles, battling it down in front of the net, defending the way that they need to. I thought the defensemen and Connor kind of talked about it, those plays that Florida has, that they're bang-bang plays. Mrazek had to make some big saves, and this is a team that they know how to find that open space. Reinhart's got 15 goals on the season. He finds those soft spaces, and it's really tough to defend. But I thought they did collectively as a group as good a job as they could in a lot of areas to defend against a really good team that knows how to play well. And I think that, you know, he was talking about, you know, not kind of overloading your mind as far as video and stuff. But when you're playing a distinctive team that plays a different style than most teams, you have to have a good idea of what they're going to do. And you saw a great example of how they want to play. They play a hard game down low, and then they move the puck into the slot area. They find them, and they know where everybody is. They have that line consistency, chemistry that Luke is looking for in his combinations. These guys have it, and they don't make a lot of adjustments because they've got results, and they know that whether you've won a couple games, lost a couple games, they're going to stick with what they know is going to work. They may tinker a little bit, and you always want to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. But I thought that, you know, they had a good scouting report, and they know what they needed to do defensively. Not perfect in any sense of the you know, imagination, but Mrazek was there to bail them out when they made mistakes, and this was just a hard-fought effort to get the win.
And that's an area I feel like the Blackhawks have definitely improved on from last season, is defensively. It doesn't feel like they're generating or they're giving up as many high-quality scoring chances, whereas, and I know we make a lot about the offensive struggles, but it feels like the Hawks have tightened things up defensively, and it's the scoring that hasn't been able to match. Like, that's why they haven't been able to win. But you were mentioning it the last game. Like, if you put three pucks in the back of the net, I mean, the Hawks are going to have a decent chance to win, because they haven't been in the bottom of the league in the scoring chances department allowed. It feels like they've really tightened things up defensively.
That's the baseline in the NHL. You give up more than three goals, you're probably going to lose. Score less than three goals, you're probably, you know, not going to be right on the right side of the equation. But the three is the level of where you need to be. And if you can keep it, if your goaltenders can keep it at three or less, gives you a chance to be in the game. I mean, the Blackhawks are struggling to score goals. But when they've scored three goals, their record's pretty good, because they haven't given up a lot of goals. They just haven't found that offense. But that's the kind of cutoff line. If you can score three goals every game, you're going to be okay. You're going to win your share. You're going to get points in those games. And the Blackhawks got to find a way to get up to that level. Their defensive style has been much better this year. Peter Mrazek has been playing great. Soderblom, when he's been in, has been fantastic as well. I thought Connor Murphy and Vlasic were excellent in this game, and they were out there a lot against the big boys for Florida.
Big weekend for you with the family, so
yeah.
You won't be with us on Saturday
No. In
Philly.
Good luck.
Yeah, I'm in the emergency call-up situation, so I'll be caller duty with John. Any tips? Any advice?
Don't mess up.
Okay. I'm not. The easiest part for me is going to be talking hockey. The hardest part is going to be getting all those ad reads in that you get in, and making sure that I'm not
Don't mess it up. There's an art to this.
I'm going to be up till 3 a.m. like, okay, say this 3 times in a game. I'm not going to be stressing about the game itself, I don't think.
The game itself takes care of it the game, on its own, right?
John can probably do the game by himself because he paints a great picture. So I'm
don't let him bully you.
Don't let more than you do. Just I think I'll be able to handle John. Yeah,
it's only because I like you. You know that.
I right? know. Jack is going to be doing the pre and post, so I'll make sure that I won't bully him in during our segments.
I gotta say, you're getting the hang of what you're doing. I don't want you to get thrown off by filling in for me.
I've finally gotten the hang of this. Time to see what
you're
deal with.
Up.
It's I'm going to be in those shoes. And I'm going to yeah. This is too hard. I'm going back to what I'm comfortable with.
But I don't want to do such a good job that we lose you too. Everybody that I work with, you know, Judd is doing TV in Boston now, and Joe is happy in Pittsburgh, doing a great job there. And stick around a little bit.
Joe called me on Tuesday night after the game, and he said he listened to most of us, and most because I think the Penguins had an early game, so he was able to. And he gave some good feedback to all of us, not just me.
What did he say about you?
He said I was doing good. He said I was okay. He said I was surviving. No, I'm kidding.
You can toot your own horn every now and then.
I tooted his horn because he's been excellent for Pittsburgh as well. So I have no plans to go anywhere, Troy. You're going to be stuck with me.
Well, you should talk some more hockey, and I'm leaving.
All right.
Unless you want me to stick around.
Nah, you can leave. You have a big weekend.
Getting some sound.
Get some
you know what? You want me to stick around on a tough loss, but in a victory, it's easy. You know, you're a front runner.
Well, you stuck around at a tough loss because we didn't have a player guest because it was a loss. Today we got Connor Murphy, so we had some time filler. So right. I'm sending you off. You're dismissed.
Toodaloo.
All right, that was the great Troy Murray. We're waiting on some sound to come in from the Blackhawks locker room after this 3-1 victory over the Florida Panthers. The Blackhawks postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Carter Verhaeghe left the puck. Foligno pokes it to the net. He scores! Bada boom, bada bang! An empty net goal for Nick Foligno! And this should put this one away. The Hawks 3 and the Stanley Cup champion Panthers 1 with 1 minute left in regulation.
That was Nick Foligno's empty net goal to seal the deal for the Blackhawks. Go figure, right? They beat the defending Stanley Cup champions 3-1 here at the United Center. But two nights prior, they can't beat the Anaheim Ducks on the second of a back-to-back for Anaheim, and the Hawks had fresh legs. But, hey, you'll take it. I think these wins are impressive, too. When here's my theory on why the Blackhawks beat the better teams, but have trouble beating the bottom half of the league is I think when they face teams like Edmonton, Florida, Winnipeg, Colorado, Minnesota, you know that when they're coming to your building or you're going to their building, if you're not on your A game, they have the potential to kind of run you out of the building. And so the attention to detail feels so much more heightened and so much more intense that it feels like all four lines, all three D pairings, and the goaltender has to really be locked in. I'm not saying the Hawks put their guard down as far as when some other teams like Anaheim comes into town on Tuesday, but it's just kind of, I mean, it almost feels like you knew going into this game where it's like the Hawks are struggling, their offense is struggling, they haven't gotten many power play opportunities over the last four games. And it's like, man, you really have to take advantage of every single shift, every opportunity to score. And so I don't know, maybe I'm off base. One of the guys that scored for the Blackhawks tonight is Teuvo Teravainen, scored on the power play. That was just his second goal in the last 16 games. He had 3 goals in his first 3 games of the season. And I think four of his 5 goals now have been on the power play. So he has just one even strength goal on the season, and he went through a long stretch too where he wasn't picking up points. I think he had 1 point in like 12 games, and now he's got points in back-to-back games. You like to see that because Ben Pope did a story yesterday, Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times, about how Teravainen's confidence has started to lower because he hasn't been getting offensive production. He dropped away from the first line on Connor Bedard's line and was kind of playing more in like a second or third line role, and the chances weren't going for him. And he was kind of saying, too, that some of the lower confidence has filtered into the overall team game as well. And so it was good to see him get on the score sheet after making those comments, but also the Blackhawks winning the hockey game, because it feels like it kind of married the two where, okay, now Teravainen might slowly be rebuilding his confidence, and hopefully for Chicago, if they can capitalize on this win with another 2 points in Philadelphia, you can start to stack together some wins and kind of remind yourself like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, maybe it's not as bad as we think it is. You know, you always kind of over-exaggerate the lulls, and sometimes when you're winning, you think you're better than you are. So hopefully the Hawks can kind of stack together some wins. Again, we've mentioned this so many times. Last year, the Hawks never won more than two games in a row. And so if the Blackhawks can beat Philadelphia, then they have an opportunity to kind of win a third game, which they haven't done in 2 years. So we'll see if they can carry that momentum into this game, or into the next game. Nick Foligno, he was named one of the stars of the game. He had the empty net goal. He also had an assist. He spoke to the media. Let's hear what the Blackhawks captain had to say after this win.
That is not an easy team to hold in one goal. And yeah. How are you guys able to keep that edge and throughout tonight?
Well, I think we had a commitment to winning hockey tonight. You know, it wasn't perfect. It never really is. But it's just, you know, you're not making blatant errors and you know, taking the life out of your own game. And I think that's where we were better tonight. You know, they still make a push, and we probably could clean things up a little bit in the second, but we find a way not to give up and give in. And I think that's the big message here tonight is it's great, and we're really excited about winning, and let's do it again, right? Like, that's the recipe that we need to have. And being comfortable in these 2-1 games or 1-0 games, like, it's kind of what we're going to be for a little bit here till we get our confidence and goals start going in for guys. But until that happens, you got to have that comfort of being in these close games and knowing that you can close them out. And I think, you know, it was a step in the right direction today.
2-1. Was that a comfort level tonight, or was there uncomfortable moments too?
I think that's hockey, right? There's uncomfortable, but you just don't want to give away momentum. You know, let them make them take it away from you. That was the big thing the other night, where we just gave away momentum. We just allowed that team to come back and beat us, and that was what was so disappointing. And tonight we you know, that's a hell of a team over there. They push, but we don't give in. Peter plays great, and we just stay with it. Big kill at the end. Guys are diving over, making blocks and sticks, and then we start to get our game going and timely goals by guys. And you know, and that's kind of how we're going to have to do it by committee here until we, like I said, get things going offensively and start feeling really good about our game. But you can't cheat it the other way and want to get goals. You got to earn it first, and I think that's where, you know, the mindset was tonight, earning it.
How big is it to get goals from a couple lines that maybe you haven't gotten some in quite some time?
No, it was huge. I mean, you know, just to find a way to get the power play even. That was a big goal at the beginning of the game. And then, you know, Smitty scores a beautiful one. I said the average age on our line that time was 90. So that was nice. Me, Patty, and Smitty. And then, you know, we find a way to get, you know, things done. And also, you know, guys check their butts off today too, right? Like, that's two good lines. They're really hard to play against. And, you know, and I really loved the way our D competed, the way our guys competed. And, you know, it's the step in the right direction. It's not perfect. We're not where we want to be. So let's just keep building and moving forward.
How big of a relief was that for that empty netter?
Oh, just to get it. I mean, that's, yeah. You know what, it was a relief that we were playing 6-on-5 the other way. You know, that's a relief. It was like, let's be the team in the lead here and not trying to get that next one to tie the game. And so, you know, I was really happy with how they stuck in there too, and Dickie and Andy and Bedsy at the beginning. And then we were able to come out, and that line's tired, and we're able to, you know, take advantage of maybe a little miscue. And that's huge. It's huge to get that empty netter and put the game away.
How fun is that? I mean, you just stick your stick out there and get a pick.
Yeah, I know, playing, you sometimes see they don't expect, especially, you know, you think you're going to allow you to just set up and then come at them, and sometimes you can get lucky. And I just saw that he kind of made a soft pass, and I just tried to jump on it, and luckily it poked right in. I don't think I planned it that way, but I'll take it.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. He also had 6 hits in this game, by the way. Love that he said the average age of his line was 90, because it does feel like that there are a lot of veterans on this team, and Luke has been trying to find the right mix of line mates, so it was nice to see him pull through. We got more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game, and we'll also hear from Peter Mrazek coming up right here on 720 WGN.
Cleared out of there by Murphy. Bennett behind the net now. Flips it to Tkachuk in the right circle. Tough angle shot. Stopped by Mrazek. Follow-up shot by Reinhardt. And Mrazek came out and stopped that as he got wide and got down on his knees in the butterfly position. And then covers on the puck at the top of the crease. He had Panthers all around him and kept that one out of the Hawk net.
That was tonight's Save of the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. One of 31 saves by Peter Mrazek, who stopped 31 of 32 for a .969 save percentage, including all 14 shots he stopped in the third period. He was excellent. He also spoke post-game to the media. Let's listen in.
How good is it to come back on a night like that when they play so well in front of you?
Yeah, it was, you know, we set the tone early in the first period. Had to score a huge power play goal, and then you know, the penalty kill finish it. So that's what we're looking for.
Seems like a recipe every game is these kind of defensive low scoring games. If your guys are going to get a win, and that puts a lot of pressure on you. Are you enjoying that?
Well, we just have to play smart defensively and get the pucks out there, and you know, hoping for the best thing in offensive zone. So you know, the D and myself and Saudi, we are there for, you know, to stop the puck, and whatever happens in front happens.
They had that power play in the third period, but they didn't seem to really threaten you during that power play. How good was the penalty kill at that moment in the big spot?
Yeah, like I said, it, you know, that's a huge part of the game, penalty kill and power play, and we got it done tonight.
How much have you seen guys, young guys, Kaiser and Allen, improve over the season?
Yeah, they've been improving. You can see it. You know, they've been playing well, especially Al when you look at him, you know, coming in, playing first games, you know, 17 or 18 games, wherever we're in, and you can tell the difference.
Save on Reinhardt there at the end. What do you see on that?
Well, I didn't see the first shot coming in, but I just tried to get a step, you know, move out and be big as possible, so he didn't have much to shoot on.
That was Blackhawks goaltender Peter Mrazek. He was named the third star of the game tonight. Boy, I felt like he should have been the first star after his performance. It was his first start in exactly a week because he stepped away from the team for personal reasons. So Arvid Soderblom ended up starting Tuesday against Anaheim. Originally, that was supposed to be Mrazek's start because Soderblom started on Saturday in Vancouver. But Mrazek, crazy. I mean, no practice yesterday. There was no morning skate today. So Mrazek just steps right into the Blackhawks lineup, kind of ice cold, and ends up turning in a really strong performance. I mean, what a stabilizing presence he has been for the Blackhawks ever since he got here, and especially since he's gotten healthy starting a year ago. His return is also a little bit noteworthy because I mentioned it on the post-game show on Tuesday. Arvid Soderblom is 4 games away from being waivers eligible. So if the Blackhawks, if Laurent Brossoit returns however long it is, if Brossoit returns later on, like he's still, I don't think Brossoit, I don't see him at practice the other day. He wasn't at the morning skate on Tuesday. So I don't know if he's still a while away of returning, but if we're getting closer to Soderblom being eligible for waivers. And if Mrazek wasn't ready to return for this game, this would have been Soderblom's start. He potentially would have started on Saturday against Philly. And then we're talking about 2 games away from Soderblom being waivers eligible. And so it's kind of a kick the can down the road situation. And Arvid has been playing terrific too. And maybe it buys some time for Brossoit to get healthy. But it would be an interesting situation if Arvid ends up reaching the 60-game mark to make him 60-game career-wise, which would make him eligible for waivers. I wonder what the Blackhawks would do in that situation and if they would be forced to carry 3 goaltenders and kind of just wait. You know, I know it's not an ideal situation, but that's the return of Mrazek tonight. It was also important from that standpoint. And so nice to see Mrazek back, played well. Guess he didn't need a morning skater practice after a week off. But nice to see him perform the way he did tonight. And good to see, hopefully he's in a good headspace too, which whatever whatever personal situation he was dealing with. All right, we got one more break to get to, then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Mark rolls right down to four. He scores! He took a swing and a miss, and it goes five-hole, and the Oilers are up 1-0.
That was the great Jack Michaels of CHED Radio calling Leon Draisaitl's 15th goal of the season, which now ties him with Alex Ovechkin and Sam Reinhart for the NHL lead. You have to go look at on social media that goal. It's going to be one of the craziest goals we see all season long. Leon Draisaitl shot the puck or tried dumping in the puck, hit a wild forward, went off the boards in the neutral zone, ended up going over the stick of an Edmonton Oiler and through the blue line. The defender of the Minnesota Wild ended up whiffing, and then former Blackhawk goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury went to sweep the puck into the corner, and right when the puck got into the crease, man, that puck had eyes. It just randomly bounced above the stick, took a weird hop above the stick, and went straight five-hole into the net. That is going to be the strangest goal Leon Draisaitl scores maybe in his career, definitely of the season. Like I mentioned, Sam Reinhart, he also scored a goal in this game against the Chicago Blackhawks to extend his point streak, I think, to 12 games. He's been on an unbelievable tear for the Florida Panthers. And then the other guy in that three-headed race for the goal leaders is Alex Ovechkin, who unfortunately suffered a fractured left leg. I can't remember what it is, but he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Unfortunately, I think originally the diagnosis was week to week, but unfortunately he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. And it's unfortunate too, because he was getting really hot, and we thought the Wayne Gretzky goal total watch, I think he's got 26 or 27 goals to get there. And unfortunately, I'm not sure he's going to get there this season now because of this injury. But I'm not going to count out the grade 8, but I think it's going to be really difficult for him to do. So tough to see that from Ovechkin. But Draisaitl and Reinhart both got on the board for their respective clubs tonight. All right, let's get to the next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are in Philadelphia on Saturday afternoon at noon, Wells Fargo Center. Hawks had a ridiculously bad record in Philadelphia. I think their last, can't remember when their last win prior to, I think it was either last season or the year before, in the regular season came in like 1996. Like the Hawks had, it was unbelievable, their record against the Flyers in Philadelphia. Of course, we all know what happened in 2010. Patrick Kane scoring the overtime winner there. So playoffs is a different story. But a weird stat, I guess, that the Blackhawks just have had a hard time winning in Philadelphia. The Flyers have gotten a little bit hot lately. They were off to a 1-5-1 start in their first seven games of the season, but since then they're 7-5-1. They had a loss to Carolina last night. Carolina's handing a lot of teams losses these days, so it's fine for the Flyers. The one guy to keep an eye on, if you're the Blackhawks, is Travis Sanheim. This guy has been eating so many minutes for the Philadelphia Flyers. In three of the last six games, he's logged 30-plus minutes of ice time. And this is a player that Philadelphia was considering trading over the offseason, and now he's become their bona fide all-around number one defenseman playing in all situations for the Philadelphia Flyers. So expect to see a lot of him if you're the Blackhawks. Lastly, I want to get to an injury update. Jason Dickinson suffered a hand injury. Luke Richardson said after the game that he was gutting it out, and he's going to have to be evaluated further. So hopefully that does not keep him out of the Philadelphia game once the swelling, the adrenaline kind of eases, and because he is a massive part of the Blackhawks lineup. So hopefully he will return for the Philly game. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Had a lot of help on the broadcast tonight. Our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Brendan Rook, they were led by our engineers, the Colonel Brett Jackson back at the station, and our guy here at the UC, Paul Zerang. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 3-1 Blackhawks win over the defending Stanley Cup champs, Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.